Well, praise the Lord. You're the early risers today. I don't know what time I got up, but Cheryl said it was too early. I had breakfast before she got out of bed. We have a wonderful Lord, don't we? Everywhere I turn, I just see His hand, His beauty, His glory. We sing about it, but we see it with our eyes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Everything He is, we need. We don't need another person. We need God. We need the Lord Jesus Himself. We don't need another clever person. We don't need another E equals MC squared. We don't need another solution. We have our Lord. We may be only a few people left saying that, but it's true. He is the King of heaven and earth. We sing it. It is true. I'd like to go into John chapter 6. We'll start in verse 22 and go all the way to 71. John always has a unique perspective of who Jesus is. Is that right? When we come together and we have communion, we have people who give all kinds of exhortations on communion, but rarely do I hear this one, because Jesus is talking about Himself, the bread from heaven. Oh, Lord God, how we need You. First of all, I'd like to repent as a country that we have forsaken Your precepts. We have turned away from You. We have lost our way. We need Your mercy today more than ever. We don't need a new candidate. We need You. Amen. Well, Jesus had just finished feeding the people. He had compassion on them because they had a long way to travel home and all this kind of thing that Jesus was thinking about. You think Jesus is thinking about your needs? Yeah, He is. Even before you do. He already knows what your needs are. Well, in verse 22, it says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, in other words, they were expecting something to happen, except the one which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, because they were obviously observing Him, but the disciples had gone away alone. However, the other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Now, isn't it interesting that John thinks it's necessary for you to know that Jesus gave thanks? It's the second time he's mentioned it, in fact, on this particular subject. Often think people forget to say thanks to the Lord and thank Him for our food and bless the food. This is a good scripture. This morning, I was early and I kind of was out of my routine and I was half finished my breakfast before I realized that I hadn't asked the Lord to bless it. It's not a rule, but it's a wonderful thing to do, is to ask the Lord's blessing on your life and on the food that we eat, His provision. Verse 24. When the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. So there are people today in the world who are seeking Jesus that are not Christian, but will soon be. And they are seeking the Lord. Now, when you seek the Lord, that means that you're fed up seeking anything else. You know, any high priest, anything that's going on in the temple, they could care less. Anything that's going on in Rome, they could care less. They're seeking Jesus. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said, what's this? Rabbi, where did you come from? How did you get here? You remember, He walked on the water to get there to the boats. And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, so He's talking to basically clueless people that are trying to find some truth in this world. Who isn't? Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs. The signs of what? He fed so many people with just a few loaves and fish. Signs of what? Healing, power, miracles, the miraculous healing. Oh, that would be enough for me. He says, you saw signs. You're seeking, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves of bread and were filled. Oh, isn't that sad? That just a few things in a socialist government will keep them happy. Ouch. It doesn't make them happy, does it? It doesn't make you happy when you're full. When you've eaten your Thanksgiving dinner, usually you're a little unhappy about that. But he says to them, do not labor for food which perishes. Don't do this. There's another way. But labor for this, but the food which endures to everlasting life. He starts to talk to them about things that they can't hope to know in the natural realm. And they're not in a spiritual realm at this point. They're in a natural realm. Jesus is feeding them. They're going to seek him. Wow, this is great. I don't have to go to the grocery store today. Not going to happen. The endures to everlasting, the food from everlasting life, with life, which the Son of Man will give you. Why? Because God the Father has set his seal on him. What is the seal that God put on Jesus? Well, I believe it was the Holy Spirit when he came down in the waters of baptism when John was baptized. And that's a seal of the covenant. But that really wasn't the seal. The seal was the Holy Spirit came down upon him and stayed there, remained there, the scripture says. Well, then they asked him a question. And they said to him, and this is the wrong question. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? I don't know. To me, I've seen a lot of new Christians come to me and ask that exact question. What do I do now to do the works of God? Well, that's question that people ask all the time. What's it all about, Alfie? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God. Labor? Well, that you believe in him whom he sent. That is Jesus himself. That's the work. Oh, I got to go out and save. I got to go out and canvas. I got to go out and give. I got to do this, I got to do that. I got to make my life worth something. Listen, there is nothing you can do better than believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and following him. There's no clever trick, no solution that you might dig up. And believe me, if you go on Google, you'll find a lot of solutions to your problems. It's a wrong approach. I'll say it again, it's the wrong question, and it's the wrong approach. Because this is what they said, verse 30. Therefore they said to him, oh, well, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe in you? We're always asking for more. We need another sign. We need a better worship team. We need more prophecy. We need less teaching. We need more of that, less of this, and better building. We need more people. We need young people. We need old people. Oh, we need. There's no clever trick or solution for you. What sign will you perform? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, well, so where are they coming from? Let's have it just like it was then. That when we went into the desert, we were slaves to Egypt. Now we're not. And the Lord Almighty provided for us manna from heaven. Bread from heaven. Let's have that again. How many would like that? That's not a bad idea. Well, it is a bad idea. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven. How can he say that to them? That was taught from the synagogues over and over and over and over again. God provided for them. But Jesus says, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Oh, there's something else besides filling your gut and feeling full that you need. And they're not even on the same page. For the bread of God is He's going to tell you right out. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. How do you get life in this world? Jesus. Who can provide life for this world? Jesus. Who is the only solution to the problems of this world? Jesus. Well, it's about time we get it. Jesus says flat out, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Even after everything is made new in Revelations, I think it's in chapter 19, he says he will still give you water from the streams of life, eternal life. There will be provision for you in the Lord Jesus. Always, forever and ever, for eternity. After everything is made new, after the earth is gone, you will still have provision from the Lord, and it will be the Lord. Verse 36. This is a sad proclamation. But I have said to you, you have seen me, and yet you don't believe. We so often see the Lord really up close and personal, and we don't get it. You only need to look at a sunset and walk there. Sooner or later, people walk away and get tired of it. All that the Father gives me, I will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means turn them away. So that's what he's saying, is everything that the Father gives to him, he's going to give to us. Nothing will be turned away from you. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who has sent me. So Jesus isn't doing his own thing on the earth, as most politicians do. Jesus is not, as most leaders do. You know, there are a lot of leaders in this world. The head of the EU, I don't even know who that is. The president of France, the prime minister of the new prime minister in the UK, 10 Downing Street. These guys all think that they're the cat's meow, so to speak. They have the solutions. It isn't the previous administration. It's their administration. But in verse 40, he says it. The will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. You won't have to eat or drink again. He is all you need. And I will raise him up on the last day. That is a joyous thing. There's going to be a resurrection. You're always worried about your body. Well, forget it. You don't have to worry about it. Right there. There's nothing you can eat, do, say, or want. Jesus is going to make that happen. Not you. Now, after all of that, one would think that everybody could have some idea what's going on. But apparently not. Because being the bread of life and the water of eternal life just doesn't make sense to them. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him. So they had their provision and they're complaining already because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, a normal person whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? Well, it's a miracle for sure. Ask Mary about that. Gabriel, a few others. Ask Joseph. But it was a wonderful thing that God did when Jesus came down upon the earth. It wasn't just so we could have another religion. We don't have another religion. We have the bread of life. Oh, Father, may we not reject the Lord. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, well, they didn't even ask him a question, but he's answering them anyway. He knows our thoughts. Do not murmur among yourselves. Anybody murmuring today? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So it doesn't matter what your evangelistic program is. Unless God's in it, it's not going to happen. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. It's not being taught of men, but being taught of God. I'm tired of being taught of men. When we first were saved, we were all being taught of men. I wanted to hear Bob Mumford's next tape. I wanted to hear Simpson's next tape. I wanted to hear the next whatever. But now I want to hear God. And here's the promise. They shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone else has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So everlasting life doesn't begin when you die. It begins now. That life that is eternal is yours now in your heart. You know it's true. You say, wow, where did that thought come from? Where did that wisdom come from? Where did that path come from? Well, it came from eternity, the living water. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. No one else, no solution, no trick. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. He's going all the way back to what their problem was. They're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat it and not die. So when we take part in communion, we are signifying that which we are called to do every day, and that's take part of the Lord Jesus, to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. And I don't know, I prayed about that a lot, and I still don't know. It's a mystery. The communion, no matter how you describe it, it's still a mystery. But I can tell you one thing, that when we come into his presence, we know we're washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And when we share our lives together in home groups and gatherings, we know that we're eating of the bread of life because of the encouragement that we give to each other. Encouragement we cannot give even to ourselves, we give to each other. Amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. Make sure you're on board here. All right, 51. I am the living bread. So it's not just going to satiate your hunger, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Wow. Well, the world isn't even on the same page. And that day, the Jews that he was speaking to could not understand that, because eating even food of any kind had to be blessed by the rabbi. It had to have certain rules, regulations. They couldn't have bacon, for sure. There was all kinds of rules and regulations about what you should eat and not eat. So for them, this is a repugnant statement, disgusting statement. To the Romans, they would say, these people are cannibals. This isn't God. This is terrible. Eating flesh. Drinking blood. What is this about? Well, they didn't get it, did they? Jesus will explain himself more clearly, but he wants to make it that way. He wants to make it so that you will follow him, not a religious path, not a man, but God himself. And you'll see something in him you never saw before. In the twinkling of his eye, the sound of his breath, the wind of the Holy Spirit. Verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh, it makes it even worse for them, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's it. You have to do this. Not optional behavior. You have to do this. Really? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Oh, this is too much for me. For my flesh is food indeed, for real. And my blood is drink indeed, for real. It is. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, not only is it going to do eternal life, you become abiding. Your house is in the Lord. And I live because of, as the Father lives and sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58. This is the bread of life which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate from manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. Now, where did he say these things? Where he couldn't be heard? No, it says right here. He said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So he wasn't afraid to say it. And he knew the implications of saying this in the temple, or in a temple. Therefore, many of disciples, how are they going to take this? Therefore, many of just the people that are listening? No. His disciples, those who were following him up to this point, his disciples, when they heard, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And they reject it. Now listen to this. Jesus wants you to follow him, but he doesn't want you to follow him on false pretense. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, his own disciples, were complaining about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you should see the Son of Man ascend, and he, as he did before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. So here he explains to his disciples, this is not about my physical flesh and my physical blood. It's about the Spirit that gives them life. For the Spirit gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. So I explain, if they're listening, they can hear this. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll hear what the Lord said to you. Well, it's a mystery still, even with all that explanation. Still a mystery, but it's wonderful mystery. Mysteries of God are wonderful mysteries. They're not to make us so confused that we'll walk away wondering. But we walk away saying, thank you, Lord. And then he says, see, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That's his explanation. How do you eat and drink of the Lord? You listen to him and you do what he's trying to tell you to do. There was a conversation somewhere I heard recently that what is the meat of the word? What is the milk of the word? Well, I believe that the milk of the word is hearing it, but the meat of the word is doing it. And Jesus turns to his disciples again, verse 64, but there's some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. Let me tell you something. You think you're here just because you made the right decision? No. The Father in heaven orchestrated your life so that you could be here this morning, so you could be under the cross of Jesus, so you might benefit from the blood that was shed for you, to forgive you all of your sins, the ones you've committed, the ones you're going to commit, all the things that are problems of this world. The blood of the Lord is merciful to you. And he'll provide for you in his own flesh that bread, which will give you life, eternal life. And you won't have to be hungry ever again. You're hungry in the Spirit. You're only going to be hungry for one thing, and that is the Lord himself. And we're almost done, but Jesus isn't done yet. So God could never be malicious, could he? God could never want his disciples to walk away. But in verse 66, he taunts them. It says, from the many times the disciples went back, from that time, his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, so many of his disciples just walked away. His 12 are still there. Judas is still there too. And he says, do you also want to walk away? Is it time for you to walk away? Is it time for you to leave? I would never have thought that God would say such a thing. But he wants us to be hungry for him to the point that we say, no, this is never going to happen, Lord. And Simon Peter answered, this is so wonderful. This is the answer. You want the questions. All our questions were worthless. But this is the answer to their question. Ask this. Another question. Lord, to whom shall we go? How would they ask that question except they've been other places to try and find answers? And Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. See, that's the bread and the blood too. Right? The words of life that he washes us clean from all of our sin and gives us provision of our life, eternal life. We have come to believe through his teaching, and we know, see, it isn't enough just to listen to the teaching. The Holy Spirit has to be involved here. To know something means that it's not up for discussion. See, before I was baptized in the Spirit, I believed Jesus was real. You know, I believed that Billy Graham's prayer of repentance was appropriate. I believed all of that. People would ask, do you believe Jesus is Lord? Yes, I do. But when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was something in my knower that said, I don't have to believe it anymore. I know it. And Peter says, you are the Christ. We have come to know this. What? That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the only answer. And later, Peter makes another declaration in which the Lord had to rebuke him. So he isn't so smart. This is clever. But the question now, and the answer is right. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, postscript, and I'm going to divert from what I would usually do, and I would advise everybody not to say what I'm going to say. So I apologize in the beginning. But I have to, because I believe our country is in jeopardy. I believe the United States, the world governments need to repent before God. And so many leaders have this idea that they're running the world. They know what's right for us, whether it's Putin in Russia or any of the governments of the world. But just recently, a few days ago, Biden was being interviewed by, I forget his name, and he said they asked him, well, did you get examined by medical doctors? And Biden answered, he says, I have medical doctors trailing me everywhere I go. And they informed him that he was exhausted, but nothing more severe. He added, I am ongoing assessment of what I am doing by the doctors. They don't hesitate to tell me if something is wrong. And when asked directly whether he was prepared to undergo a neurological test for reassurance to the Americans about his capabilities, Biden sidestepped the question, saying, I have cognitive tests every day. Well, yeah, we all do. Right? How are we doing? Well, he pressed the question again. He says, listen, I'm not only campaigning every day, but I'm running the world. And that's no hyperbole. That's a quote, unquote. And I thought, as I heard those words, I thought, Lord, forgive us of our arrogance. It isn't just this one man that's doing this. It's like we all do it, to say, I'm running my life, and I know what I'm doing. See, it's not about the Democrat or Republican Party. It's about mankind in general. They're asking the wrong questions, and they're getting the wrong answers. We just need a better Social Security system. We need better medicine, better Medicare, Medicaid. We need better. And the Lord's saying none of that is going to help you. You need a better government. You need a better president. I don't know that's the answer. I know what the answer is, the kingdom of God. But it's not just kingdom of God out there somewhere. It's the kingdom of God first starting in you, the kingdom of obedience in you primarily, first of all. He says, I love obedience better than sacrifice. Sacrifice means that you have pain to endure to sacrifice something so you can have something else. But before he wants that, he would really just like you to be obedient to him. And sometimes you don't know what that means. Other times you know exactly what that means. The Spirit of the Lord is what is supposed to be guiding you on a day-to-day basis. So if he says for you to do something, it may not cost you anything, but you don't do it. It's just, I don't know. Is that really God? You have a prophecy in your heart and you haven't given it. You haven't been obedient to the Lord. You have a testimony and you didn't give your testimony when you should have. You haven't been obedient to the Lord. If you were supposed to greet someone and you didn't, you haven't been obedient to the Lord. If you haven't worshipped when you should be worshipping, if you haven't sung a song when you should be singing, you need to be obedient to the Lord. Maybe you don't feel like worshipping today. It's early. Maybe you don't feel like being outgoing, you know, generous. All the things that you should be in the Lord. Well, it doesn't matter how you feel. It matters in what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. So, Father, we want to first just repent again, first and second and third. Just repent again for our transgressions. Our transgressions as a single person, but also transgression as a church, transgressions as a country, as world governments. We have transgressed. So many are killing innocent children. So many have embraced marriage without male and female. So many have embraced all of the diversities of silliness that's out there. There are enough monsters in this world. We don't need to make more. And Father, we come against the monsters of this world. I don't even want to name them. But we know they're out there. And it isn't just evil, but it's evil intent, an evil plan for the children of God, an evil plan for this country, an evil plan for a world government, an evil plan, evil doing with massacre of innocent blood. I can't get more innocent than an unborn child. Can't be any more bloody than that. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, we pray for the international wisdom, the things that are going on in Gaza, the things that are going on in Israel, the nations that pile up their weapons against Israel. We pray against them in Jesus' name. No more uranium building up. No more purification of the evil source of this stuff. No more theft of billions of dollars. And we don't know that any of that can happen, but you can make things happen overnight. You are the one that raises up and brings down again and raises up. Oh God, we ask you, Lord God, to do what you're supposed to do and do whether we ask it or not. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the king of this world, not of this physical world so much, but of the spiritual kingdom of God, which isn't the governments of the world, although he can do anything he wants in them. He is the King of kings of his government. And Father, we also want to repent for that we have somehow thought we can build the church. That's never going to happen. You are the builder of the church. You are the one who is the leader of the church. You are the one who is running the church. Oh God, we ask you, Lord God, to please forgive us, and we know you will, because we know who you are. the bread of life in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.